Unfortunately, when I recorded this homily during Mass, I was unable to save it properly. As a result, I needed to re-record this homily. The main points will be the same, but the exact wording will vary from what was actually said at Mass. A young man was having difficulty figuring out which form of Christianity was the right one. He was born and raised Catholic, but his mom was not really practicing the faith, and his dad, who was Catholic, after repeated experiences and encounters with priests that were frustrating to him, he decided to become Baptist. This young man himself had worked in a Lutheran summer camp, and so he's seen different versions of Christianity. And he wanted to know, well, which one was the right one? This particular man was not much of an intellectual type and was not interested in diving into all of the doctrines and all of the teachings and comparing them to each other. That would have been a lot of work that he would have found exhausting and wasn't really interested in taking that approach. Instead, he decided to take a different approach. He decided to look at the fruits. Well, in these different forms of Christianity, those who are living out those teachings, what are the fruits? What is the results of those who faithfully live these things out? And when he looked at the Catholic Church, he noticed at that time, there were two people that really got his attention, John Paul II and Mother Teresa. They were both alive at that time that he was looking into this, trying to discover which one was the right version of Christianity for him to follow. And seeing these two very saintly people, alive and active at that time, inspired him to recognize that the Catholic Church must be the right one, because none of the others that he looked into seemed to have people who were as holy and as faithful and as loving as these two saintly people, which we know after they had passed, the Church has declared them both saints. And so he did what we see in our gospel passage, being recommended to us by our Lord Jesus Christ, to know a tree by its fruit. In this case, he knew that the Catholic Church must be the right one because of the fruit, the holiness of these two particular members who were living out the faith. If we look at our gospel passage, Jesus talks prior to that about a blind person guiding a blind person. Although Jesus is talking to his disciples, he's making reference to the Pharisees. They are the blind ones who are guiding others who are blind. He's prompting his disciples to make a choice. Who are they going to follow? Who are they going to use as their example and lead to make their journey towards heaven, which is and should be the ultimate goal of all of us? And so he considered the Pharisees to be blind, or alluded to them as being blind, because the Pharisees, who were well-educated in the Jewish faith, knew all of the prophecies of the Old Testament. And as a result, they should be the first ones to recognize that Jesus is the Messiah and that he does fulfill these prophecies. Yet, they were jealous of Jesus. He was more popular than they were. Jesus taught different things than what they were saying. Jesus embarrassed them at certain occasions. And they could have chosen to be open to the possibility of him being the Messiah. Instead, these particular Pharisees, not all of them, but many of them, Pharisees, scribes, and other religious leaders, they took offense at Jesus and decided to be opposed to him. And inasmuch as they failed to recognize him as the Messiah, they were blind. And so Jesus is prompting his disciples to make a choice. And he says, can a blind person guide a blind person? Will not both fall into a pit? That is, would they not lead them astray because they themselves don't recognize him as the Messiah? So his disciples have to make a choice. Who do they want to follow? Is it Jesus? Or is it going to be the Pharisees and the other religious leaders opposed to Jesus? Then Jesus moves on to talk about the splinter in your brother's eye, but do not perceive the wooden beam in your own. This too is an allusion to the Pharisees and other religious leaders who frequently criticized other people, failing to see their own faults, their own pride, their own judgmentalism, their own difficulties and challenges with regards to following the Jewish tradition and faith, their own inability to recognize Jesus as the Messiah. So Jesus is referring to them when he says, you hypocrite, remove the wooden beam from your own eye first, then you will see clearly to remove the splinter in your brother's eye. Although this is an allusion to those Pharisees and other religious leaders, it's also a good teaching for all of us, that before we go and criticize others, that we should first examine ourselves and look at our own faults, and after addressing our own faults, be able to more lovingly and charitably help others with theirs. Jesus goes on to talk about a good tree does not bear rotten fruit, nor does a rotten tree bear good fruit. And we heard in the opening story about the young man who was able to discern which form of Christianity is the one that he ought to follow based upon the fruits of those who lived out the faith. If we ourselves look at the faith, we ourselves look at the teaching, we might say, well, yeah, but aren't there some Catholics who aren't doing so great, whose lives are seemingly pretty miserable? That doesn't look like good fruit. Well, we have to be careful. We have to make sure that we are looking at the fruit from those who are striving and living out the faith and not those who merely claim to be Catholic but lack that zeal and effort and attempts to live out in accordance with the teachings of the Church. We live in a secular society, and in this secular society, there is a different moral code. And those who try to live that moral code of society, in as much as it's contrary to the truth that God has revealed to us through Jesus Christ, through his Church, we can see that those people often find themselves being pretty miserable, that they aren't able to find the happiness and the joy that our Lord wants to give because they are choosing to live a life of sin. That's not to say that those who are Catholic and striving to live the Catholic faith have perfect lives or lives without difficulties or challenges, but rather we can see even in the apostles, they had lots of difficulties, lots of challenges, imprisonment, being beaten, lots of other kinds of sufferings in their efforts to follow the Lord as the Lord calls them, but we also see within them a deep sense of joy, that they would willingly undergo those sufferings out of love for the Lord, and that they would prefer to undergo those sufferings so long as they remain in that loving relationship with the Lord and following the Lord as he calls them. And so it's that deep sense of joy of living out the faith, reaching those heights of holiness that we ourselves can see is good fruit. But for those who choose to live a life following the moral code that the secular society provides, they often find themselves miserable as a result of their own choices and their own actions of sin separating themselves from God. And so we can look at what is the tree, what is the fruit of these different trees of striving to live out the Catholic faith versus living a secular morality. We see the good fruit of those who strive to live out the faith, and we can see that those who don't often find themselves in misery. And so we ourselves are called to follow Christ. He makes this prompting to us. Who do you want to follow? How do you want to live your life? He says, can a blind person guide a blind person? Secular society, which has abandoned God, is like that blind person. And Jesus prompts us to follow him instead. Now, we may be well-intentioned and desirous to know the true teaching of the church and to follow the church as we ought, but we may also notice that not all church leaders agree, and there seems to be new ideas of what we should be following and what we should be doing. How do we know, then, what is the true teaching of the church when even some of the leaders of the Catholic Church are opposing each other or introducing new ideas? Well, we can look back on our own history and see what happened in the 16th century when Martin Luther and others decided that they saw things in the church that they didn't like and they wanted to address it. Martin Luther noticed the corruption of certain members of the church, and seeing that bad fruit, he came to the mistaken conclusion that it was the teaching of the church that was at fault, when actually it was the lack of holiness. It was the corrupt sinfulness of those particular members that were at fault for the bad fruit that he witnessed. But he and others decided that they would take a different route. They would go with different teachings and try to pursue holiness that way. The church, the Catholic Church, responded to this with the Council of Trent. And at that council, they came out with many decrees announcing what is the true belief of the church and how we know that based upon all of the history of the church, pointing to different scripture passages, showing what it is that we believed. And they also came out with the Catechism of the Council of Trent, or the Roman Catechism, summarizing all of the faith and all of the beliefs that we have. The intention was for the priests to know the catechism so that they would be able to share the true teaching with all of the people. That way, the entire church would be united in what we truly believe. And mistakes and erroneous teachings can be identified and avoided. Well, we might think, okay, that's great from the 16th century, but what about today? Or at least more recently. In 1917, there was the Baltimore Catechism, and that summarized the teachings of the faith in a question and answer form. And more recently, in the year 2000, there was the Catechism of the Catholic Church that was promulgated by Pope St. John Paul II, and the editor was Cardinal Ratzinger, who became Pope Benedict XVI. And so if we want to know what the true teaching is, we should be able to see it identified either explicitly or implicitly in sacred scripture, either explicitly or implicitly in the early church teachings and documents and writings. We should see it throughout the history of the church. We should see it in the catechisms of the church in the years that follow. And we can then know what that teaching is because we would know it comes from Jesus since we can see it all throughout history, all the way at the beginning in the scriptures from Jesus himself. But if we notice that there are any different teachings, anything that contradicts what we see throughout the history of the church with regards to the teachings, then we know that this is more likely not the true teaching of the church, but rather some innovative initiative or teaching from some theologian who decided to go in a different direction. So we have this safeguard, scripture, tradition, and the official teaching magisterium of the church. And we can use those as reference points to know what the true teaching of the church is. If we come across anything that doesn't seem quite right or seems to contradict what the church has taught in the past, we can make those comparisons and find greater clarity in what is it that we are really taught. And that'll be helpful for us to make sure that we're getting the good fruit of the true teaching and avoid the bad fruit from erroneous teaching. With all of that being said, we can now thank God for the great gift of the church to help safeguard the faith, of these three ways of recognizing the truth throughout history, but we're also to consider what it is that we are choosing to do with our lives. How are we pursuing holiness? Are we going to choose Christ and the teachings he gives us as the route to heaven? Or are we going to choose a different path? Are we going to choose some other way of how we live our lives? Are we going to choose the secular route, which includes all sorts of kinds of sins that would keep us separated from our heavenly homeland, from the pursuit of heaven, because all sin is an offense to God and separates us from God. And if it's serious enough, it ends that relationship with God and prevents us from reaching heaven until we repent and are reconciled from those sins. So let us consider what we choose as we prepare to meet our Lord Jesus Christ in the Most Holy Eucharist.